Hi, I'm Dr. Kirsten Lauritsen. I'm a personal functional medicine practitioner for high performers and professional athletes. And I've worked with athletes in many different sports, from the U.S. sailing team to endurance sports and triathlon, CrossFit, and professional tennis players across the board in any sport. Maintaining a foundation of a healthy body and mind is crucial for long-term success. This is the podcast that will show you how to apply the principles of a healthy body and mindset to achieve high performance, all from the inside out. This is the Fit and Healthy Athlete Podcast. Hey, I'm Dr. K. Welcome back to my channel and this podcast with the Fit and Healthy Athlete Method, where I help athletes and high performers stop the supplement and the protocol and the program collections and feeling stuck in their health or their performance in some way, to really knowing exactly what they need to do very specifically for them so that they can both thrive in their performance, their life, their career, and their sport. Okay, let's jump in. So I know that achieving particular goals sometimes can be super frustrating, and maybe you're facing an injury, overcoming an injury of some type, or maybe you're facing some chronic symptoms that you're trying to get through, because in order to get to where you want to go, you've got to get some of this stuff out of the way. Or maybe even you've set a goal and you are just struggling to figure out how to achieve it and how to get there. So that's what I'm going to talk about today. There are a few common mistakes that athletes tend to make that I see all the time. And it's somewhere along the lines of setting and wanting to achieve a particular performance goal. And then one of the most common mistakes that they make there in setting those goals is, it's not the mistake isn't setting the goal. The mistake is like how they go about doing that. So very commonly what we do is we set that goal and then we're like, okay, so what are all the steps and how am I going to get there? Starting with that does a couple of things with the subconscious mind that is one of the most powerful things to become aware of. So number one is, as soon as you start figuring out, okay, so then like, what do I need to do? Like, how do I actually achieve that? The brain automatically starts thinking something along the lines of, for a lot of people, well, I don't know how to do that. I don't know how to get there. And it happens so quickly that you may not even be conscious of it. And it can cause some worry, some fear, some anxiety, some stress around getting to that actual goal. And then that is what can then drive this, I want to collect another supplement or another protocol or another diet, or I need to do this next coaching thing, or I need, yada, yada, right? It goes on and on and on. So the other side of that is, if you're like, oh, well, I've got the hows, but I still haven't achieved that goal. This is one of the things that is another belief that can be going on in the background. And that is when maybe you know the hows, like maybe you've been in this for a while and you're like, okay, I need to do this step, this step, this step, this step. But then if you're still not achieving that goal, one of the things that you might be thinking in the back of your mind is like, well, I know the hows, but how do I know that this is going to work for me? Or like, what is not working for me? Like, why is this? Why am I not getting where I want to go? And as soon as those beliefs kick in, it takes us out of the present moment and it pulls us into that future of that anxiety, that fear, that worry that we're worried about, right? Of maybe not being able to achieve what we want to achieve, what that means for us, all of those things. So I've touched on a couple of things here already that are maybe kind of kicking into some fear, some anxiety, maybe like some frustration around not achieving what you want. And I definitely know that like when I start talking about some of those things, it is the most coachable athletes that are willing to get into this uncomfortable place of like, okay, there's clearly something that's holding me back from being able to get where I want to go. And I'm willing to say, and I'm willing to face the things that are holding me back, that are going on in that subconscious mind, that once I break through those, I'm going to be able to achieve that next goal I have and more, right? So, and it really helps them to be able, once you get into that uncomfortable place and you're really able to like look past the things that that are protecting you and keeping you safe in that sense, but are also keeping you stuck where you are. That's really where, I see athletes and high performers. So, business entrepreneurs, big, CEO career people really achieve what they're wanting to achieve in their career, their finances, wealth, life, all of those things. And you've got to learn from whatever that problem is that you're in right now in order to be able to move forward. So let's talk about how we do that. So beliefs are basically, they're just thought repetitions, thought patterns that we have that then dictate how we look and see the world. So a really good example of this is like changing your beliefs can change your life because we have a bunch of these filters that are based on what our brain is filtering, the world and the environment through. So some very typical beliefs and common beliefs that athletes have when I work with them come down to some of the ones being like, well, I haven't done enough. So like if you're going into a race and you're thinking about or into an event or a competition or whatever that is in season and you're worried about like, or you, your goal is to get to a particular place, but that kind of brings up a little bit of anxiety or worry or fixation on that, then one of the things that can happen is one of the beliefs of where that worry and kind of fear can come from is I haven't done enough in order to be able to get to that goal. Now, whether or not that's true is one thing, but if you're holding on to that belief, then that's how the brain's going to filter everything. So changing that belief can really help to get you to be able to move past that and to not be making decisions based off of a fear and being able to make decisions towards what you do want. The other thing, another belief that athletes have a tendency to have is something along the lines of like, this injury is going to ruin my career, right? Or taking a year off will be the end of me. Or a really common one that I see a lot, especially in like the endurance world, is if I take time to recover, then I'm not going to be maximizing my potential. Because in those, in that athlete's mind, rest means downtime, and downtime means that they're not doing something towards what they want, that training, or it's the next, exercise thing they need to do. So when rest recovery is then prescribed to them to be able to do, they worry the entire time about how behind they're going to be. And this happens even if a doctor like myself or someone explains to them, like their coach says, that recovery and rest is where you get your adaptations from, not from being in the gym. It doesn't even matter if that's explained in the most logical way. For this particular athlete, right? This belief is guiding that experience. It's the thought and the habits and all of the things that are those repetitive thoughts that then keep this athlete from being able to really utilize that rest and recovery time for what it's intended to be. And those beliefs just then guide what they do and the choices they make, right? So they may go out for that, extra run on, and here's how it plays out, right? So they may go out for that extra run on the day when they're supposed to be resting. And then, fast forward several weeks, and then, let's say an injury does happen, or the body starts to get run down, they start to get fatigued, then it plays into that like, oh, I should be doing more, or maybe I need to be doing things differently, but like in a way of doing more, right? I need to do more exercises. I need to be doing more things. I need to work on my nutrition. When in reality, part of like why they're making those decisions is based off of their fear that if they rest and recover, then they're going to lose out on all this time and they're going to be behind and people are going to be faster than them and all of those things. So you can start to see how the beliefs that we hold can actually guide and influence our experience and also our choices and then how we ultimately get to the goals that we want. So that rest and recovery time in this particular example is really important for getting that athlete to adapt. And she could actually, or he could actually get to that higher performance, that peak performance quite a bit faster if they were actually giving their body that time to adapt. Just for the sake of this example, I don't know if you've ever I know one thing that I, when I was really learning this concept, was when I was doing a lot of CrossFit at the time and lifting, heavy barbells and heavy weights and doing a lot of Olympic weightlifting. And I would be stuck at this one spot where I just couldn't quite get to that next, 165-pound clean and or what, whatever it was. And we went on vacation and I didn't do anything, for that week. I came back and I PR'd that lift. And that is such a great example, if you've ever experienced that before, of how the body can utilize rest to then be able to get you to adapt. And that is really where a lot of this adaptation comes from. Yes, you need the stimulus and the stress coming in from that session. And then it's all the rest of the time, the sleep time and everything else in the day that then helps to either promote that adaptation or it can even take away from that. So that talks a lot about how we can make our decisions, right? We're going to either be making decisions towards something or we can be making decisions away from something. So, and really when we are driving a lot of the things that we are doing to get to that goal that we want based off of fear of maybe not getting the goal. So like, again, in the endurance world, especially in triathlon, getting to Kona being one of those things, it's a really common goal to hear. And a lot of like the fears and the anxieties and the worries can be centered around not qualifying. They can be centered around getting injured or getting sick right beforehand. And all of those things can increase stress, they can increase inflammation. And when we start to really focus and fixate on like the fear and the anxieties and the worries, they pull us out of the present. And it really prevents you from being able to focus on this particular day's training to focus on being and staying here in the present. So my question to you is, what do you need to do right now? And what do you need to focus on right now? Is there something that you need to be doing that will help you to stay in the present? That maybe there's something you're noticing is driving your choices and your decisions towards what you have set as a goal, but really is this movement away from something that you're fearful of happening? So what do you need to do that would allow you to be present here in this moment, in this next day? That is, I'm gonna really focus and do my best in this workout that I have right here in front of me right now, or this training session, or this game, or this competition, or this race. So, and always remember that, these are all being driven out of these beliefs, right? That athlete that was really concerned about, resting and recovering is driving from a belief here in the subconscious mind. And our thoughts and our habits and our beliefs are then what that subconscious mind gets focused on. You end up creating filters for what you see. So really, another really good example of this is when you're like maybe going to buy a car. And you're all of a sudden focusing on a couple of different types of cars. And then all you see then driving around like are those cars, right? It's this super weird phenomenon that happens that's really common and a lot of people have experienced it. And it's basically what it is it's your brain has then changed that filter. Those cars have always been there. All of them have always been there. Your brain has just changed the filter of what it's looking at and looking for. Because if we didn't have those filters, there'd be so much information coming in at so like such a rate that like our brains literally wouldn't be able to handle it. So part of what we do is we want to change and shift those filters by working on those beliefs and even maybe releasing some negative emotions that then help the brain to focus on what we do want. So when we shift those habits and those beliefs as well, what then ends up happening is that you get the sensation of being able to let go. And it can feel so good and so liberating. I've had athletes go through all sorts of stressful things. And one of the things that they say the most often that comes from this type of work is actually say two things. Say number one is they feel so much lighter because they're getting that sensation of being able to let go of whatever was driving that stress and that fear and that anxiety and just eating up all of this bandwidth in their brain. It really allows the body to be able to say, oh, okay, like things are probably going to be okay. Like things are going to be okay. It's going to be fine. We're going to get there. And then I now know exactly how I need to do that, right? I have the options. I have the resources that I need in order to get there. It can also bring out a lot of energy and help you move through those places where you're feeling stuck. So, you know, and I also talk about this as well on some of my, you know, if you follow me on social media, you may have seen this, but when you get into that stressed place where you might be feeling like you don't have very many options and you don't have many resources, that is a place where that sympathetic nervous system kicks in and can basically bring you to a spot where it's like, okay, well, if I could just get this one thing, then everything's going to be fine. Or I'm not really seeing too many options or ways out of this thing. I don't see very many resources here that can help. And when we get you to be able to let go, when you're able to let go of whatever it is that you've been fixating on, that is either preventing you from getting there, whatever you're seeing is a part of that piece of what's keeping you stuck. You get that feeling good. You get that feeling lighter, that more energy, but then you also are able to see so many different options and different resources that are all around you. They're all there. It's just changing that filter and getting that nervous system to regulate itself so that it doesn't now kick you into fight or flight all the time. It doesn't make you stressed and kind of worry and anxious and just like ruminating on these things. So there's a lot of power in being able to let go, especially for performance, because not only now are you feeling lighter and like you have more energy, but all of that now can go into staying present and focusing on what we needed to do today. So you can see how it all plays in together, and it can be immensely powerful for someone who can now start to actually get what they want and they need out of the performance that they already have, right? You already have that there. We just need to harness and refocus in the brain on what we want. So my question to you is, as we wrap this up here, is in what ways do you need to be present? You know, can you identify the next workout or the next race or time with your friends and family or rest and recovery time where you can spend just a few moments being a little bit more present and focusing on, you know, the either gratitude, you know, emotions, right, that elevate, that bring that up? Are there things that you can be doing that will help you to kind of stay a little bit more present? I also find like journaling to be super helpful in getting a bit more present and also spending a little bit of time just kind of in silent time of like, okay, what would 10 minutes look like if I could just sit here and just kind of allow myself to just decompress a little bit, to give myself that space to be able to set an intention of like, okay, what do I need to be present to today? What do I, you know, do I want to connect with someone today? Any number of those things. So thank you for listening. If you found this helpful, make sure to subscribe and like below. And also, if you would like to work together and you found this and you'd like to break through some of these beliefs, you can head to drkirsten.com to figure out how to work one-on-one together. And I will see you next time.
Hey, did you know that up to 70% of athletes may be deficient in at least one micronutrient, if not potentially deficient in two or more? Micronutrient deficiencies like vitamin D, iron, calcium, vitamin E, B12, B9 are super common in athletes, and they can lead to things like fatigue. They can lead to injuries and fractures, getting sick a lot and missing practice, to unexplained pain and a lot more. On the flip side though, athletes who corrected nutrient deficiencies saw improvements in VO2 max, vertical jump, grip strength, force, improved delayed onset muscle soreness, and a lot more. That's why I created the Strong to the Finish Line free guide for athletes like you to be able to train and compete symptom-free so that you can have the confidence and the power to perform at your best. Get this guide for free at drkirsten.com/finishstrong.